Good afternoon, brethren. Hopefully everyone's having a wonderful Sabbath day today. It is so wonderful to come together once every week, once at the end of every week on the Sabbath day to worship our Heavenly Father. I'd like to start out by saying hi to and extend greetings to Nancy Miller, to Jean Ward, to Martha Fredericks, to Daisy Swint, to Marcia Suckling, to Bruce and Teresa Metzger, to John Alvarado, to Astri Cooper and Rigmore and Chase, to Dorothy Ralston, and also to Jeff and Robin Jostant, and my good friend Joseph Franco. Now, brethren, today I'd like to start my sermon by talking about an economic term that many of us may be familiar with or may not be. And that economic term is the velocity of money. The velocity of money. Now, the velocity of money is defined in Investopedia on macroeconomics as being the rate at which money is exchanged in an economy. It is the number of times that money moves from one transaction to another. Unquote. The following is an example of the velocity of money, which has been adapted. I've adapted it from an example that was in Investopedia on macroeconomics. Consider an economy with two individuals, Mr. A and Mr. B. Mr. A has $100, and Mr. A buys office furniture from Mr. B for $100. Then Mr. B purchases lawn equipment from Mr. A with that same $100. And then Mr. A then buys office supplies from Mr. B with that same $100. And then Mr. B in turn buys fencing supplies from Mr. A with that same $100. Now, both parties in the economy have made transactions totaling $400. Even though Mr. A and Mr. B only use that same $100. This multiplication in the value of goods and services exchanged is made possible through the velocity of money in an economy. In this case, through these transactions totaling $400, utilizing the same $100, the velocity of that money was 400 divided by 100, which is 4. So the velocity of those transactions, the velocity of money was 4. If this same $100 continued to be used in further transactions, the velocity would be higher. If they did this for 8 times, it would be 8. The basis for the velocity of money is that the same money can be used over and over and over and over again. However, if Mr. A or Mr. B decides to hold on to the money without putting it into the bank, basically just putting it under their pillow and not using it anyway, the velocity of money drops to 0. The velocity of money is an indicator of monetary transactions and is a very good indicator of the overall vibrancy and health of a nation's economy. The higher the velocity of money, the more healthy and vibrant the economy is. Brethren, whereas the velocity of money is an indicator of overall national economic health and vibrancy, there's another type of velocity that is an indicator of our own spiritual health and vibrancy, both individually and collectively, as a congregation and as a church. In my sermon this afternoon entitled "The Velocity of Blessings," The Velocity of Blessings, I would like to explore the concept of how God our Father multiplies the blessings that He gives to us when we in turn use His blessings to help and bless others. We will explore this concept of multiplying of blessings, the velocity of blessings, through discussing 4 points which can help us identify and follow the principles regarding our Heavenly Father's blessings. The first point concerning the velocity of blessings is, point number 1, God our Father will multiply His blessings through us to others. Point number one is God our Father will multiply his blessings through us to others. You know, our Heavenly Father is a master of multiplication and of geometric progression. To illustrate geometric progression, I offer the following age-old story. A business owner hires a man to work in his office. To test the new employee, the owner asks the new employee if he would agree to come to work for one penny the first day, and then he would double his salary each subsequent day. So the first day he would make a penny, and the second, two pennies. Well, the employees thought a minute, and he said, well, wait a minute, okay, 2 days is two pennies. The third day I'd only make 4 cents, and the fourth day I'd only make 8 cents, the fifth day only 16. That doesn't compute, you know. And he did some more math. He said, you know, after a week, I wouldn't even make a dollar. I'd barely have a total earning of a dollar. He said, no, there's no way I would do that. The lesson in the story is that if the employee had agreed to these terms, he would have been a millionaire by the end of the month. On day 31, his daily wage would have been almost $10,800,000. And his total monthly earnings would have been over $21 million. Now, I have a board here to show you this progression. Here he starts with a penny on the first day. The second day he has two pennies. He made 4 cents on the third day, eight on the fourth day. This is what the employee was saying. Well, you know, by the time I'm at the end of the week, I've only made $1.27 total. But what he didn't realize is that by the end of the second week, he was making $81.92 a day with a total of $164 total. And by the end of the third week, he was making $10,485 a day. And you come on down to the very end, on the 31st day, he was making almost $10,800,000 that one day, on the 31st, for a total monthly salary of almost $21,500,000, all starting from one penny on the first day. Actually, if the employee had worked under this arrangement for another month, just doubling it every month, every day, at the end of those 2 months, he would have earned a total of over $23 quadrillion, which is $23,000 trillion, which is 100 times that of the total GDP of the United States. All starting from that tiny 1 cent on the first day. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Christ said our Heavenly Father's kingdom would start very small, but then would grow huge. Jesus compared his Father's kingdom to a small grain of mustard seed. We read this in Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 30. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 30. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, we read, Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Likewise with us, God our Father can turn a small blessing that we receive into greater and greater blessings for others that we just do not comprehend. You know, the small grain of mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, and yet it becomes one of the greatest of all trees. You know, an example of greater blessings for others through one person is the example of Abraham. Please turn with me to Genesis 22. We read here in Genesis 22 that Abraham was tested by our Heavenly Father, and that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son to obey him. We read of God our Father's answered Abraham's willingness to obey him, no matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the hardship, no matter the sacrifice. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 16. Genesis 22 and verse 16. And our Heavenly Father said, "By myself have I sworn, says Jehovah, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham obeyed our Heavenly Father and showed him his deep conviction and willingness to do whatever it took to obey his commands. And as a result, our Heavenly Father richly blessed Abraham in his life. But that blessing did not stop with Abraham. It continued through generations and generations and centuries upon centuries and millennia after millennia, to where it affected and blessed billions of people. That is an incredibly huge velocity of blessings that stemmed from one act of devout obedience to God our Father. Did Abraham think at the time that he was obeying our Heavenly Father when he was ready to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, that that one obedient act would be multiplied to bless billions of people on the earth? I don't think so. So none of us know how our Heavenly Father can and will multiply a blessing that we share with others in obedience to his principles and to his laws, to greatly bless others, who in turn bless others, who in turn bless others. Please turn with me to Matthew 25. Jesus, the Anointed One, gave a parable which discussed the multiplying of money or talents given to three different people. And what those three people did with that money or talents, and what the returns on the initial investments were in the end. We begin this in Matthew 25 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. In Matthew 25, 14, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them with another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained the other another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them, and so that he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord.'" You know, in this parable, the first 2 men returned 100% increase to their master, to the original investment given to them by their master. How did they achieve 100% increase? Verse 16 yields the answer. Let's read verse 16 again. And it says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same." The 2 men used their money and their talents and traded. There was a velocity in the money and in the investment that the master had given to them. They just didn't sit still with it. And most likely there was a high velocity of money in order for them to have 100% return on the original investment that their master had given him. Brethren, what investment has our Heavenly Father made in us? What talents has He given us? Unique talents that no one else has in quite the same way. We all have them. Not a single person doesn't have talents. There's not any of us here today that does not have a special set of talents that God our Father has given them and which can be blessings to others. And He is expecting us to use those talents to bless others and to exalt Him. Brethren, do we ever wonder how we can be a blessing to others and how our Heavenly Father can bless others through us? Please turn with me to Romans 12. You know, the Apostle Paul discusses these blessings in his epistle to the Romans by exhorting the members of the congregation to use their talents and strengths to bless others. We read this in Romans 12, beginning in verse 5. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. In Romans 12 and verse 5, we read, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's Yehovah, our Heavenly Father. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, these talents and gifts that our Heavenly, that Paul listed includes teaching others, exhorting others, encouraging others, showing mercy to others, giving to others, being cheerful and rejoicing with others, being generous with others, being hospitable to others, comforting others, and praying for others. Brethren, these gifts are things that all of us can do. By helping others in their time of need, they can in turn help others in their time of need, who then can in turn help others in their time of need. A simple act of kindness can be multiplied in that way beyond our comprehension. Our Heavenly Father can multiply that blessing in so many ways as it cascades through others from one person to another to another. How many of you have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? This is actually one of my favorite movies. It was filmed in 1946 and it starred Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, and Lionel Barrymore. Jimmy Stewart starred as a struggling banker who never got to travel, never got to do all the things he ever wanted to do in his life because he was always too busy serving the community through his bank. Through fault by another bank, his bank was going to be foreclosed on along with all of his dreams. He was going to jump off a bridge and commit suicide when an angel stopped him and showed him how truly important he was to his family and to his community. The angel let Jimmy Stewart temporarily live in an alternate life scenario to show him what the what life would have been like in the community if he had never been born and if he had never lived. It was interesting and incredible to see just how many lives he had touched and changed for the good. Just one example was that in this alternate life scenario, since he was never born, he was not there to save his brother from drowning when he was a child, so that later in life, his brother was not alive, where he would have saved hundreds of people on a ship during World War II. The movie showed how devastated some of the lives of the people in the community were because he was not there to show them the kindness that only he had shown through his bank. It showed just how much a difference, what a difference one life can make in the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Brethren, do we realize the impact that each of us, has on one another? Whether it be a positive impact or a negative impact, there's still always an impact. One act of kindness, one act of concern, one act of love can impact others in ways that we can never imagine. So, brethren, our Heavenly Father will multiply His blessings through us to others. The second point concerning the velocity of blessings is, point number two, God our Father prepares us in unusual ways to bless others. Point number two, God our Father prepares us in unusual ways to bless others. You know, many throughout the churches of God are undergoing trials. Many times we just don't understand why we're having trials. It seems like all the time, all the trials that we have. Sometimes we feel that we seem to just go from one trial and one test, one trial to another. To another, to another, to another, seemingly without end. Maybe it seems like bad things just keep happening to us. Brethren, our Heavenly Father is not asleep. He hasn't taken a long trip. He hasn't gone away. He's not absent. We don't serve an absentee Father. He and Jesus, the Anointed One, know full well what we're going through. There is a reason for everything that happens in our lives. Our Heavenly Father steers events and circumstances in our lives in order for us to produce the ultimate outcome that He desires. Those events and circumstances are preparing us to bless others, whether it be now or in the future or in the kingdom. Please turn with me to Genesis 39. You know, we all know the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. Some terrible events and trials occurred early in Joseph's life. After having been sold into servitude in Egypt, he became the head overseer in Potiphar's house. And we read this in Genesis 39, starting in verse 6. And I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Genesis 39 and verse 6. Genesis 39 and verse 6. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded, but Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day by day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran out from the house. Now, so here's Joseph. What happens is she accuses him of raping her, and he is thrown into prison. So here's Joseph following our Heavenly Father's way, being strong, not sinning, being righteous, and still getting blamed and still getting punished. in this case, being cast into prison. Do we ever feel that we're following our Heavenly Father's way, trying to do the right thing when everyone else is doing the wrong thing, but bad events and bad circumstances happen to us anyway? Do we get mad at our Heavenly Father? Do we sometimes feel that it wasn't even worth going down this path and choosing His path? Let's read on. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Yehovah," or our Heavenly Father, "was with him, and that which he did, that Yehovah made it prosper." So Joseph was in prison for probably 7 to 9 years when the Pharaoh's chief butler and the baker were put in prison. They each had a dream, and Joseph told them the meaning of their dreams. In telling the chief butler that the butler would soon be reinstalled back to his position, he asked the butler to remember him, but the butler immediately forgot Joseph. 2 whole more years passed, and Joseph continued in the prison. Now, we all know the story. Pharaoh dreamed the dreams. No one could interpret the dreams. And the butler then remembers Joseph in the prison. Joseph is sent for and is brought before Pharaoh. God our Father lets Joseph interpret the dream. He tells Pharaoh how to prepare against the coming drought. Then what happens? In Genesis 41 and verse 37, we read, Genesis 41 and verse 37, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and according unto your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Now, after around 11 years in prison, after 11 years of trials and 11 years of being punished for a crime that he had not committed, that certain day came. Do we realize that on that certain day, Joseph woke up in the bowels of the prison, just like he had 3,000 to 4,000 days before? But he went to bed that night in Pharaoh's palace, second in command of all of Egypt. How great is that? The heart of the story of Joseph is that Joseph's trials that he endured for years and years and years, both in Potiphar's house and in the prison, prepared him to rule Egypt. He had been in responsible charge in the prison. Overseeing the prison required planning, working out the details of the supplies for the prison and for the prisoners each day, the food to be prepared, the clothing, and all the necessities for the prisoners. In short, he was learning how to rule. God our Father used the severe trial of prison for a crime he did not commit, for being the very learning ground for Joseph to be in a position where he would then bless hundreds and thousands of people in Egypt and in other nations. So, brethren, in our own lives, do we ever stop and wonder if our Heavenly Father may be using trials and tests that we have endured or may be enduring now to prepare us to be used to bless others? Do you think that Joseph thought for 1 second when he was in the bowels of the prison and enduring life there that he was being groomed to rule all of Egypt, and that our Heavenly Father would use him to bless thousands and thousands of people? But our Heavenly Father can also bless us abundantly in order that we use those blessings to bless others. Brethren, our Heavenly Father does prepare each and every one of us in unusual ways for us to bless others. The third point concerning the velocity of blessings is, if we do nothing, the velocity of blessings is zero. Point number three is if we do nothing, the velocity of blessings is zero. Brethren, the velocity of money is based on the number of transactions performed with a certain set of money. But if there are no transactions with the money, then the velocity of money is zero. The same is true with latent talents that our Heavenly Father has given us, but talents that we've never acted on or used to help others. In that sense, the velocity of blessings is zero. Please turn with me again to Matthew 25, and we will finish the parable of the talents that we were reading earlier. In Matthew 25, we'll again start in verse 14, Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. There again, the talents. Everyone's given talents. Some more, some less, but all of us have been given talents. And straightway took his journey. Skipping to verse 19, and after a long time the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And then skip to verse 24. And he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know that you are a hard man, and reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the earth. So there you have what is yours. And his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, you know that I reap where I don't sow and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who has 10 talents, for unto every one who has shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But from him who has not shall be taken away even which he has. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, brethren, the third man did nothing with his talent. He buried it. He did nothing with it to use as a blessing to others. The man was scared to do anything with the talent. He was fearful that he would lose the talent by making a wrong choice. So he simply buried it. And the master was not happy at all with that the man buried the talent, and that he had nothing to show as an increase or to show for its usage to help others. The master even said that the man could have at least put it in the bank, where it would have at least drawn interest and could have been used by the lenders to help others. In that way, it could have been used to help others and be a blessing to others. But he did nothing. It was useless. Likewise, do we bury our talents, the very talents that our Heavenly Father has given to each and every one of us? Do we empower ourselves to help others, to use the talents that He has given us to bless others? Or like the third man in this parable, are we simply too fearful or too doubtful or even too ashamed to use our God-given talents to further His work, to aid and help others in their need, and to put a velocity on the blessings that our Heavenly Father has given and provided to us? Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. A short but important spiritual physical principle is given here by the Apostle Paul. But this principle has a direct impact on our daily lives, and there is a direct correlation between this principle and the velocity of blessings. We read this in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, Paul writes, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Again, if we bury our talents, if we do nothing, we are sowing sparingly, and or we're not sowing at all. So in the end, we will reap sparingly if we reap anything. There would be no increase. And what our Heavenly Father could have used through us to bless others, was not realized through us at all. Brethren, do we find ourselves too busy to serve, too busy to help, too busy to be there for others? Do we serve with our time? Jesus discussed this in a well-known parable of the sower and the seed. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 4. In this parable, the seed was being cast out in four types of ground, and one of those types of ground was the field of thorns. In Mark 4, we'll begin in verse 18. Mark chapter 4 and verse 18. And Mark chapter 4 and 18, Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and care, but and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. If we allow the cares of this world, our own pursuits, and our own busy schedules to crowd our Heavenly Father and His people out of our daily routine, then we can quickly become unfruitful and unusable. Being unfruitful can lead us to a point where God our Father can do nothing with us and through us to bless others." Please turn with me to Luke 13. You know, our Heavenly Father is so patient with us. He does expect us to bear fruit. He expects us to be able to use He expects to be able to use us to further His work, to further His will, and to bless others through us. Jesus spoke of this in His parable of the fig tree. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. Luke chapter 13 and in verse 6, He says, Jesus spoke unto also this parable. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down." This parable shows that God our Father and Jesus, the Anointed One, are both willing and patient to work with us. They're so very, very patient. But there does come a time when if there's no fruit being produced, they will move on. Because in the end, our Heavenly Father's will always be done. He will accomplish His will through us, or He will accomplish His will through someone else. But His will always be done. We simply cannot do nothing. Brethren, if we do nothing, the velocity of blessings is zero. The fourth point and final point is concerning the velocity of blessings is, point number four, pay it forward. Pay it forward. Now, pay it forward is an expression which describes the beneficiary of a good deed, repaying that good deed to others instead of to the original benefactor. The concept is millennia old, going all the way back to ancient Greek tragedies. But the phrase itself is credited to have been coined by Lily Hardy Hammond in her 1916 book entitled In the Garden of Delight, where she wrote, quote, "You don't pay love back, you pay it forward," unquote. You know, paying it forward was also a movie released in the year 2000, which starred Kevin Spacey, Helen Hunt, and Haley Joel Osment. In the movie, young Trevor McKinney, played by Haley Joel Osment, is caught up by an intriguing assignment and his new social studies teacher at school. The assignment was to think of something to change the world and to put it into action. Trevor conjures the notion of paying a favor not back, but forward, repaying good deeds not with payback, but with new good deeds done to three new people. The movie then deals with how those good deeds changed the lives of those three people positively, where they then began making positive changes in their lives, which became blessings to other people. The concept of paying it forward is a godly and Christian principle that has so much potential when applied. Please turn with me to Luke 6. Jesus, the Anointed One, exhorted his disciples to follow this principle of paying it forward and not asking anything in return. It is a selfless way of showing love to others and a beautiful way of honoring God our Father. We read this in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them who hate you, bless them who curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use you." And he said of a child, "And unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer also the other, and him who takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your cloak also. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would have men do unto you, do also unto them likewise. For if you love them who love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to them who do good to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive just as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you merciful as your Father also is merciful." You know, Jesus taught that we should do good to others and give to others, hoping for nothing in return. That truly is paying it forward. Christ gave a wonderful example of paying it forward in a famous parable that has so much meaning and so many applications in our physical and spiritual lives. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, where we will read the parable of the Good Samaritan. We read this in Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. In Luke 10:30, we read, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of these three do you think was neighbor unto him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise." Now, a few observations about this parable. First observation is the Samaritan did not know the man whom he helped. He was a complete stranger. The second is that the Samaritan took care of the man's needs. He didn't wait for someone else to do it. He saw a need and he did it. Thirdly, he never sought repayment for his assistance. And fourth, he probably never saw the man again. That truly is paying it forward. The Samaritan paid it forward with the man that he helped. And instead of dying on that road that day, the man lived and probably was able to bless many other people during the rest of his life. Paying it forward honors our Heavenly Father. Please turn with me to Matthew 5. Christ says that we are lights to the world and that we should let our lights shine. Paying it forward is a great opportunity to let our lights shine to others. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The selflessness involved in paying it forward allows the glory to go to our Heavenly Father and not to ourselves. It's never about self-exaltation. Paying it forward gives glory to the Father. Paying it forward allows the blessings to go from person A to person B, who then passes the blessing on to person C, who then passes the blessing on to person D, who then passes it on to person E, and then to F, and then to G, then to H, and to I, and continue on and on and on. Brethren, that itself is the velocity of blessings. Brethren, God our Father has indeed blessed each and every one of us, each and every one of us, without exception, beyond measure. What do we do with those blessings? What we do with those blessings can determine how much our Heavenly Father continues to bless us. In today's message, we have covered 4 points on the velocity of blessings. Point number one, God our Father will multiply His blessings through us to others. You know, He has the power to greatly magnify and multiply and increase the blessings that He has given to each and every one of us. The second point is God our Father prepares us in unusual ways to bless others. You know, many times the trials and tests that we endure are teaching and testing grounds that He uses to prepare us to bless others. Point number three, if we do nothing, the velocity of blessings is zero. God our Father simply does not bless what is buried. Pure and simple. Whatever we bury becomes useless to us and to others and ultimately even to our Heavenly Father. And point number four, pay it forward. One blessing that we provide to someone can cascade and be repeated in the same way or a different way to someone else who then makes it a blessing unto someone else, who then turns that blessing for a blessing to someone else, continuing to cascade and increase. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, where the Apostle Paul sums up the points in this sermon in his epistle to the Corinthian congregation. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, Paul writes, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the Scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever." That's from Psalm 112 and verse 9. "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyously express their thanks to God." No, brethren, God our Father will generously provide everything we need with plenty left over to share with others. He is interested in how we react to our blessings. Do we selfishly keep the blessings to ourselves, or do we generously share those blessings with others in love and concern? For a final scripture, please turn with me to Galatians 6. Brethren, maybe we just feel tired and weary in our lives. Maybe we feel a little overwhelmed, and maybe sometimes we doubt if what we're doing and what we're facing each day, living God's way of life, is actually worth it. Paul exhorts the Galatians in Galatians 6 to continue in the faith, to persevere, and not to faint from following our Heavenly Father and His way of life. And we read this in Galatians 6, beginning in verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Brethren, just like the transactions of money yield a velocity of money, the righteous deeds that we do every day can be blessings that deeply and positively impact others, who in turn can perform righteous deeds which will bless others, yielding a velocity of blessings. Brethren, let us strive to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, so that we will totally trust them, so that we will be ready and willing to be used by them to bless others, so that we will be ready and willing to take that step of faith and to use our Heavenly Father's Spirit to help others, to serve others, to inspire others, and to be a blessing to others. Brethren, let us pray that we will renew our commitment to our Heavenly Father and to His way. Let us pray that He will use us to bless others who can then turn and bless others. And let us pray that our Heavenly Father will use us to begin a blessing that then has a high velocity of repetition again and again and again and again on many others. Brethren, let us strive to sow the seeds of righteous deeds, which will yield a high velocity of blessings, which can ultimately bless hundreds and thousands of people. Brethren, will you be a blessing to others, implementing and continuing a high velocity of blessings?